In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge Thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for Thee. Exercise all Thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works, and I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of Thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to Thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge Thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of Thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are looking at My Catholic Faith, Lesson 180, Objects and Qualities of Prayer. The image shows a woman at a prie-dieu, a kneeler. She's praying. There's a thurible with incense, the smoke rising from the thurible, pictures of angels all around, and the caption reads, "The following illustrate the qualities of prayer. We have, quote, He that adoreth God with joy shall be accepted, and his prayer shall approach even to the clouds," from Ecclesiasticus chapter 35, verse 19. We have another quote, "Let my prayer be directed as incense in thy sight, the lifting up of my hands as an evening sacrifice," from Psalms 140, verse 2. Another quote, "The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him," Psalm 144, verse 18. Next quote, "Ask, and it shall be given you," from St. Matthew, chapter 7, verse 7. So the first question is, what is prayer? Prayer is the lifting up of our minds and hearts to God. Prayer is loving conversation with God. The mere thought of God is not prayer. Devils think of God, but they do not pray. In prayer, we concentrate all the powers of our souls and elevate them to God. Is it not an honor to be allowed to talk to the president of our country? But at any moment, we can talk to God Almighty in prayer. He has no hours of appointment. He has no secretaries to forbid our entrance into his presence. Second, God not only permits, but commands us to pray. Prayer is a privilege and duty. Quote, "And he also told them a parable that they must always pray and not lose heart," from St. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. God wants us to talk to him at any hour of the day and night, and even of the most trifling things. The oftener we speak to him, the better is he pleased. Quote, "Pray without ceasing," from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Third, prayer includes every kind of divine worship, reception of the sacraments, hearing Mass, attending sermons, benediction, vespers, etc. All devotions of the Church are prayers. Prayer is a means by which we obtain God's help. No man can be just who does not pray. Prayer is a recognition of the Creator and His power. Next question, why do we pray? We pray first to adore God, expressing to Him our love and loyalty. This is the prayer of praise. We ought to praise God for His infinite perfections. The Church praises Him unceasingly. The Gloria and the Sanctus in the Mass, the Te Deum and the Gloria Patri are all prayers of praise. The Blessed Virgin prays God in the Magnificat. We must adore God as becomes reasonable human beings. Chain prayers are foolish and sinful. Second, we pray to God to thank Him for His favors. This is the prayer of thanksgiving. All we have comes from God, and we are obliged to render Him thanks. Too many take His favors for granted and neglect to thank Him. Christ Himself complained when He healed 10 lepers, for only one returned to give Him thanks. from St. Luke chapter 17, verses 12 through 19. If somebody picks up a pencil we have dropped, we hasten to thank him with a smile. But for God, who made us and keeps us in health and happiness, we are stingy. A Te Deum is sung for occasions of solemn thanksgiving. Third, we pray to obtain from him the pardon of our sins and the remission of their punishment. This is the prayer of contrition. This is penitential prayer, as the Miserere is a form of petition, for by it we ask God to forgive us. The good thief prayed, quote, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. From St. Luke chapter 23, verse 42. And how well and quickly he was rewarded. God never forgives our sins without contrition. Fourth, we pray to ask for graces and blessings for ourselves and others. This is the prayer of petition. God wishes us to ask him for all that we need, spiritual or temporal. He is not ignorant of our needs. He knows them better than we do, but he prefers to have us ask him, so that we may not take his favors for granted, but recognize our dependence. Christ himself used a prayer petition in the garden and on the cross. The Christians prayed for the deliverance of Peter when he was in prison. Quote, Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. From St. Paul's Epistle to the Romans, chapter 10, verse 13. The next question, how should we pray? We should pray, 1, with attention. We should remember to whom we are talking and avoid deliberate distractions. Let us prepare ourselves before prayer. Let us assume a reverent posture and forget earthly distractions. To be properly attentive, we must pay attention to the words we say and to God who hears. In order to be pleasing to God, we must pray in the name of Jesus and in accordance with his will. We must therefore pray for whatever is for the glory of God and the salvation of souls. The Church prays always in the name of Christ, through Christ our Lord. Our Lord promised, quote, If you ask the Father anything in my name, he will give it to you. From St. John chapter 16, verse 23. Second, we should pray with the conviction of our own helplessness and our dependence upon God. We should humbly acknowledge our nothingness, our unworthiness, and God's greatness. Quote, The prayer of him that humbleth himself shall pierce the clouds. From Ecclesiasticus chapter 35, verse 21. Remember how Christ praised the publican who humbly struck his breast and prayed, quote, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. We are entirely dependent on God, our Creator. Whatever he refuses us, we cannot have. Quote, Without me, you can do nothing. From St. John chapter 15, verse 5. Third, we should pray with a great desire for the graces we beg of him. It is far from polite to a fellow man to ask him for something and at the same time to act as if we did not care whether he granted our request or not. How much more reprehensible such an action would be before Almighty God. To prove our great desire for the favor we ask, we must be sure to possess a pure heart, to be in the state of grace. Even the prayer of sinners is profitable, especially when they are sorry for their sins. But the purer our heart is, the better is God disposed to hear our petitions. Who would have the temerity to enter a king's presence clad in filthy and torn garments? Yet in praying with an impure heart, a man would be doing much worse, coming into the presence of God with a stained soul. Fourthly, we must pray with loving trust in his goodness. We should have confidence, filled with a firm belief, that God will grant our prayer, if it is for our good. God loves to see faith, confidence, and trust in our hearts. At the same time, we should be resigned to God's will. We must leave to God's good pleasure the granting or withholding of our wish, how and when he would grant it. Quote, Amen, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, Arise and hurl thyself into the sea, and does not waver in his heart, but believes that whatever he says will be done, it shall be done for him. From St. Mark chapter 11, verse 23. Our Lord prayed in the garden, quote, Not my will, but thine be done. St. Luke chapter 22, verse 42. He had asked that the chalice might pass from him, but left the answering of the petition to his heavenly Father. God knows best what is for our good. We ought not to dictate to him how and when to answer our prayers. Fifth, we must pray with perseverance. Even if our petition is not immediately granted, we should not stop praying. Quote, We must always pray and not lose heart. From St. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Our Lord himself told the parable of the man who continued knocking and thus actually forced his friend to give him what he wanted. St. Monica prayed for 18 years for the conversion of her son. After that, he became a doctor of the church and a great saint, St. Augustine. Our Lord also gave us the example in this. After having labored all day, he frequently passed the night in prayer. Concludes our reading. Do we have any questions or comments?
I have a question. What is a chain prayer?
All right, a chain prayer. I think probably some of our older listeners might remember what a chain prayer is, but they generally come in the form of a little pamphlet that you receive from someone that you know, usually. Doesn't have to be someone you know, but in there it will say, you must say this following prayer for 10 days, and if you do, you will receive all these blessings. God will reward you, money will come to you, you will receive all these favors, but if you break this chain, that is, if you don't make 10 copies and pass them out to 10 more people, you have broken the chain. If you don't say these prayers, you have broken the chain. So the idea is that you receive this pamphlet, you say these prayers for this many days, and then you pass this prayer on to others, promising them the same blessings and, of course, the same curses. If you break this chain, bad things are going to happen to you. God will punish you, whatever it may be. But that is basically superstition. So you're placing some kind of divine power in the set of words or this printed pamphlet that you're reproducing and passing out. We deal, I don't know what to say frequently, but very often there's somewhat people who will come to our little chapel here in Rochester, which is usually open most of the day, and they come for a visit, but someone makes like a chain prayer to St. Jude. You've got to go in and say this number of prayers, you print up these pamphlets, and you leave these pamphlets in the church for others to pick up. And we promptly pick them up and throw them away. but this is, a chain prayer in that sense is superstitious. It is evil. There is, I guess you might say, a Catholic sense of chain prayer, where we have a group of people who will agree to, you know, say the rosary on certain days or to pray for certain needs in the church. So if there's someone is sick or in an accident or something, you can notify someone in the chain and they will send out the message that so-and-so needs prayers at this time. And those people in that, if you want to call it a chain, will drop whatever they're doing and say a prayer for that intention right then and there. And that is not superstitious. So I hopefully made that clear enough.
Yes, you did.
Okay. Prayer has always been something very interesting to me. We're encouraged in religious life. I guess it's actually forced upon us, if you will. It's part of our daily routine to have this prayer life. But the prayer of petition has always been a little baffling to me because God already knows I should not have to ask. And if I'm asking, am I insinuating that God doesn't know what is best? But the prayer of petition seems a little presumptuous, a little forward in my mind. I know it's not, but it seems to come off in a lot of the spiritual writers in that fashion towards me. And I would rather pray with Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. And so I encourage people with your prayer or petition to ask for whatever it is you're asking, but then also say, Lord, if you cannot take this cross from me, then please give me the grace to carry it, and to petition for the graces that are necessary for whatever cross we need to bear, rather than to ask him to take the cross away or to replace it with a different one. I can remember years ago we had a I don't know, like a church picnic or festival here. Bishop Lewis was out of town. When he came back, you know, we told him it got rained out and it was pretty much a flop, and the brothers all got a royal chewing out. Did anybody pray for good weather? Did anybody ask the angels to give us good weather? Well, no. Well, that's why you got rained out, because you didn't ask. You know, ask and you shall receive. Where is your faith? I says, okay, you got a good point. I said, but God already knew. The angels already knew. Why do I have to ask them the obvious? But yes, our Lord wants us to pray, because in this prayer of petition, we are acknowledging our dependence upon him. But at the same time, with this petition, we have to be resigned to God's will. And then again, we hear the spiritual writers will tell us that we must persevere in prayer. Okay, I keep praying, but when do I resign myself to God's will? When do I know that God has said no? And if he says no, isn't it kind of rude of me to keep asking? You know, trying to force my will upon God? But the prayer of perseverance is not this rudeness, but as the example gave of Saint Monica, we're praying for something that we know is truly God's will. We can continue in that prayer, I guess, until we die, knowing that it is God's will that this should be done. Of course, we can't force the will of other human beings, because God will not force other human beings, but God can give was efficacious grace that will transform the individual. And so we can continue praying for something that we know is absolutely God's will, as Saint Monica did, and in that we should persevere. But the example that I keep falling back upon is our Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane, asking his Father that, you know, if this chalice can pass from him, that's what he would like, but not my will, thine be done. And so I think with every petition, we should have that idea in mind, but with every petition, I think we should try to focus that, you know, all for the greater honor and glory of God, not for my own selfish interest. So I know the sentiments and the thoughts of a young seminarian are not really purview for most of our listeners or those who would read this, but I think it is perhaps something that many people go through. How do I reconcile these opposing or apparently contradictory things? And ultimately, we must take away the contradiction and see the beauty there, how they complement and actually complete one another. A few weeks ago we had the youth retreat, and I focused pretty heavily on virtue is in the middle, and we need to avoid either extremes. And I think that's what we tend to do as human beings and our fallen nature, we tend to an extreme. We see some evil and then we want to do exactly the polar opposite. And generally we swing way too far to the other extreme when virtue is in the middle. So the correction doesn't have to be overdone. If we were to explain it to someone perhaps learning to drive, one of the mistakes of young people when they're first learning how to drive and to steer is the overcorrection. You start going off once off to the left, you overcorrect too far to the right, and then you overcorrect too far and you keep swerving back and forth because you're overcorrecting. And so it's just, I think, the same idea in the spiritual life. We need to try to focus on the center, and when we see an evil, we don't need to go to the opposite extreme to counteract that evil. It just takes a little correction to put us back on the straight and narrow. And so I think in our prayers, we should not become discouraged, but we should persevere in prayer. And I think it is easier to pray for others than it is to pray for myself. I find that when I begin praying for things for myself, I think you're being selfish. I'm being self-centered. But if I can pray for someone else, I find it so much nicer. So that God's holy will should be done. So the prayers of petition, me personally, I like to offer them up for someone else's need. Or at least what I perceive to be their need. And I think we can end with that, unless we have any further questions or comments. We'll end with the act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti descendit super vos, et mania semper. Amen.